be glad in it because he is risen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I told Jamie today. It's really bad when you can't remember talking to your wife. But I told Jamie today it was the breaking of dawn. So it was just daylight-ish. And I always like to go outside when the sky begins to brighten up, because I figure that's about the time those women got up to go and take care of the dead body of Jesus. And I told Jamie this morning, before we prayed for you in service today, I said, you know, at this point of those two ladies' day, at this point of the day, our joy exceeds their joy, because we already know he's alive. And then we pray, Lord, would my joy erupt like their joy erupted when they discovered that Jesus was indeed alive and not dead? God, give us that sort of joy. Help us, Lord, today to rest in that mighty, mighty joy. Well, we have come today to celebrate and to worship and to remind ourselves of the most stupendous, sensational, supernatural event the world has ever known. Let's read about it. It's found in the wonderful Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and my Bible just calls it the resurrection. I love to hear the pages turning. I know some of you are clicking, thumbing. That's fine. I've got it myself. Wherever you can get to it, Matthew chapter 28. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." This morning, this is what we celebrate. Well, the reality is that every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, right? But this is the granddaddy of them all. This is the day where we remember this supernatural event, this mighty display of God's love that motivated him to send Jesus to Bethlehem as a little baby, and then he grew to become this man and who died on the cross, who took our place on the cross, who rested, our sins rested on his shoulders, and he was punished in our place for our sins. And then if that wasn't enough, he burst out of the grave, defeating death himself. And so we're gathered today to rejoice with the words of the angels. He is not here. He is alive. And that's the story of Easter. So what difference does Easter make? What difference does Easter make? I wonder if you know the reality of the Easter difference. I hope this morning that if you don't know what the resurrection can do for you personally, that you'll discover that. And I hope that if you've been a believer a long time, that today you will have a fresh realization about the resurrection and what difference it can make in your life. But what difference can it make? You know, hundreds and thousands and millions of people will come and gather in buildings just like this. But you know, there are a lot of gatherings around the world, some to celebrate and some to mourn. I mean, 9/11, July 4th, Pearl Harbor Day, the Grammys, the Oscars. People gather for various reasons, hundreds, thousands, the Super Bowl. They'll gather in places all over the land celebrating that football. That's great, but what's the difference in Easter? What's the difference between our gathering? And I know you're already thinking of the Sunday school answer. It's Jesus. And I want you to know that the Sunday school answer is right. Jesus is the difference. But what makes Easter different than those events? Well, to do that, I want to go back a day. Can we go back a day in the calendar and take a peek into Saturday? All we know about Saturday really is out of Matthew 27, verses 62 to 66, where the Jewish authorities were a little nervous about what would happen to Jesus' body, and so they went to the Roman authorities and said, "Say, can we post guards outside of the tomb, and can we seal the tomb?" Because they said, "We remember that Jesus said that after he died, in 3 days, he would rise from the grave." Isn't it interesting that the Jewish leaders understood the words of Jesus? They just didn't know how it was going to happen. And so the Roman authorities gave them permission. They posted 2 guards and they sealed the grave to keep the creator of the universe from getting out. I want you to think for a moment on the disposition of the disciples. Jesus was dead. He's like still in the grave. They're grieving the loss of a friend, of a teacher. They feel a little let down. That maybe a little manipulated. They really believed that Jesus was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And so doubt begins to creep in, and confusion begins to settle in, and shock begins to win the day, and there they are, stuck in Saturday. Have you ever been stuck in Saturday? I mean, it's that place between what you believe about Jesus, what this book says, what you have faith to understand, what you've heard the preacher say, what you've heard your mama teach you, what you've heard Billy Graham say, all the things that we know, your Sunday school teacher, all the things that we know, and the solution to what we're going through, our pain, our suffering, our questions, our doubt, our physical infirmity, our sin, our brokenness, our addiction. Have you ever wondered, have you ever been stuck in Saturday and wondered if all the things that we know and believe, will it really make a difference? Well, the good news of the gospel, the good news of today, the reality of the resurrection is that Jesus does make a difference, and he can make a difference in your current context. And this morning I want to share with you 3 ways the resurrection makes a difference. These aren't the 3 ways. There are hundreds. I'm just going to give you 3 ways the resurrection makes a difference today in your life. And the first one is this: resurrection means life. Resurrection means life. I want to break that up into 2 parts. The first part is this. This morning we've come to celebrate Jesus is alive. I'm glad today. He lives, he lives, he lives within my heart. Does he live in your heart today? Amen. Jesus is alive. If bones could talk, and there was a roll call of all the graves of individuals who were leaders or prophets or self-proclaimed deities. If bones could talk, and roll call would be made, and a roll call was made outside of the grave of Jesus, the grave of Jesus would be the only grave that was silent. If bones could talk, because there are no bones in Jesus' grave, he is alive. So the difference the resurrection makes is that our God, the Son of the living God, is alive. But here's part two. Because Jesus is alive, you and I are no longer doomed to spend eternity in hell forever and ever. Because when Jesus rose out of the grave, he ensured everlasting life for anyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Amen? And Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, he says, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Jesus says in John chapter 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. So what difference does Easter make right now? What difference does it really make in our lives right now? Here's what it means. It means, for anyone who chooses to believe the preposterous story that God would so love the world that he sent his only son to die on the cross and then go on to raise up from the empty tomb, anyone who would believe in that and confess Jesus as Lord, the Bible says you will be saved and you will spend eternity with Jesus forever and ever and ever, and that's a long time. So which religion is the right religion? How can you be sure? Here's my theory. I'm going with a guy who rises from the grave. The resurrection means, secondly, transformation. You know, if all Jesus did was rise from the grave, I mean, if all he did was die on the cross and rise from the grave, that would be an awesome thing. But the good news is that that's not all there is to it this morning, because the reality is, since Jesus died on the cross to transform us from sinners to those who are righteous and rose from the grave to secure eternal life, the good news is that the power of the resurrection is such that not only is it a spectacle, but the power of Jesus can transform us person by person by person and change us from what we are today and what we were to what God wants to make us, a righteous, holy person before his sight. See, Jesus' resurrection does not only supply dying faith. The resurrection of Jesus brings us life to live by. No, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So do you have abundant life today? I want you to know it's not because of how good you live, how hard you try, the amount of money you make, and the nice things you do. All of that helps create a good environment. But the reality is we are good because Jesus transforms us. You know, the Bible is full of transformation stories. You got the crippled man in Acts chapter 3 that was healed. You got the self-righteous, hypocritical, Christian-killing Saul, who on his way to Damascus, God transformed in a moment and turned him from Saul to Paul. And he went on to be the greatest missionary the world has ever known. Then you've got the blind man. Remember the blind man in John chapter 9? Jesus healed the man of his blindness, put mud on his eyes, you know, and the guy washed the mud away and he could see. And the thing that bugged the religious leaders is that Jesus did that on the Sabbath. And that was a no-no, right? And so they began to quiz the guy. Well, who did this? How did this happen? They just wanted to get at the guy who did a good deed on the Sabbath. And I love the words of the man who said this in response to his critics. Have you ever had anyone criticize you for being a believer? Have you ever made a change? Has Jesus ever transformed you? And people looked in on your life and just sort of twiddled their thumbs and say, we'll see how long this lasts. You can't answer a critic. You can't argue with them. Your statement should be like the blind man. This is what he said to his critics. When asked if Jesus was a sinner, he said, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but one thing I do know, I once was blind, but now I see. here in this room today are people who have experienced the transforming power of Jesus Christ, and you are a living testimony that it's the real deal. Do I have any witnesses here today transformed by the power of God? We've even written songs about it. Help me out. Someone asked me if I was going to sing today, and I said only spontaneously and if the Spirit leads. But this informs our faith. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The power of Jesus transforms us into what we were. Our hopeless mess of sin and stuck in Saturday, and it gives us transforming life that provides joy in the going and confidence in the dying. So maybe this morning your Saturday, maybe your Saturday is the lack of assurance that Jesus is alive. Lack of assurance that you are ready to live forever. Lack of an inability to answer the question, if you died today, are you certain you would go to heaven? And then maybe your Saturday is marked by disappointment or brokenness or addiction or confusion. Maybe today your faith is struggling because of your life issues. Well, on this happy Easter morning, I declare to you that Jesus is alive. And it is through the empty cross and the empty tomb that we can be transformed, so that the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17 becomes our words. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old has passed away and all things become new. Thirdly, not only does the resurrection mean life, and not only does the resurrection mean transformation, but the resurrection means power. I think today, church, one of the things that we don't really grasp is the power that we have of Jesus Christ if he dwells in our lives. I think we don't know what we have. I don't know how many of you like to watch the Antique Roadshow. I don't know if you have to be a certain age like me, an aging person, to watch the Antique Roadshow. Some of you who are at my age have things that are old enough that you think you need some money for retirement, so you watch that show, right? I think that's how it works. I love those parts in the Antique Roadshow where they bring this item, you know, and they've tossed it around. You know, the kids have played catch with it, you know, for 30 years. And, you know, they bring this thing, you know, his grandma's great-grandma, and they bring it, we kids played with it, and the dog, we chewed on it, and whatever the story is, and you've seen, have you ever seen the auctioneer or the assessor put on a white glove. I love it when they put on the white glove because you go, oh, something big's going to happen now. You know, the white gloves come out and they look it over and they say, you know, on the market today, this item here would fetch $300,000. You know, and they're fainting right and left, like getting slain in the spirit right there. The people didn't even know what they had. Church, we don't even know what we have. We have the risen Lord on our side. And the resurrection power. Listen. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is our power. You say, oh, Pastor. No, I'm going to prove it to you. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. Paul is praying to the Ephesian people, believers just like you. I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for those who believe. Let me push the pause button. I want you to picture Jesus or Paul putting on his white gloves. This is the same mighty power, this power that's yours, that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Church, because of Jesus, his death and resurrection, we have resurrection power at our disposal. You and I can live with the same power that Jesus had as he lifted out of the grave. I love the words of C.H. McIntosh. He wrote, "There is power in the presence of a risen Savior to solve our difficulties, to remove our perplexities, to calm our fears, to ease our burdens, to dry our tears, to meet our every need, satisfying every craving of our hearts." Maybe your sadder day is that you feel powerless. You say, well, Pastor, we're all getting excited about resurrection power. Resurrection power is mine, but I don't have much power. Maybe you're trying to live your own power, fix your own problems, repair your own relationships, fix your own weaknesses. Church, the difference that Easter makes, the difference that Jesus can make in our lives comes, I think the words of the song that Pastor David and the team led us in a moment ago is the key. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold must be surrendered. So today, if you're wanting the power of an almighty God in your life, and you could look through your life and there are strongholds, and there are high things, there are things in your life that you have elevated above God, I just want us all to realize that there is no other way that we can receive the power of Jesus, saving power, sanctifying power, living power, unless we become willing to lay those things down and saying, God, you are solely and completely the God whom I will serve. There's no other way. Nine years ago, in the most costly hurricane in Texas history, Hurricane Ike came ashore in Galveston on September 13th, 2008. It came on board as a Category 2 hurricane. It had sustained winds of 200 and 110 miles an hour, 22-foot storm surge. It was blamed for 100 deaths in the state, 74 deaths in Haiti. It led to flooding. It was the costliest hurricane in Texas history. Many homes were destroyed in the area due to the fact that most of those homes were older, under older construction, and they weren't built at the right elevation, so codes were not in place. And however, there was one couple. Their name was Warren and Pam Adams, and they had learned from experience. You see, previously, back in 2005, Hurricane Rita blew through, and their home was totally devastated. And so people began to rebuild. They rebuilt their home, and yet they had one piece of instruction for the contractor. So when you rebuild our home, we want you to build it according to standards that would defy the force of an F5 hurricane. And so he went to work and built a house. And on that fateful day in 2008, when Hurricane Ike blew through, this is what their neighborhood looked like when the storm was through. The reason their house stood is because they chose to make a decision. The decision they made was, as they built their home in 2006, rebuilt it. They built it on a foundation and a structure that could withstand the most wicked storm Mother Nature could throw at them. I want to say it wasn't without sacrifice. There was damage to the home. Life wasn't easy. Electricity was off for a long time, but they survived. And I heard this quote just this week. We went and watched, what was that movie we watched the other day, hon? That one movie that she or I can remember. That one right there. Pardon me? It was about the missionary who battled Ebola. Someone help me out here. Yeah, whatever you're saying is, that's it. I can't hear you. Can we edit this out of the notes? Facing the darkness. She comes through for us. Thank you. And Dr. Brantley, he stated this quote. It was a moving movie, but this is the only quote that brought a guttural response out of my throat. And he said this: faith is not something that makes you safe. And I added my own tag, but it is something that holds you fast. Can I ask you this morning, do you have a faith and confidence in our resurrected Lord that will hold you tight, hold you fast? Have you placed your faith in the foundation of Jesus Christ? Are you building your life on the foundation that's found in this book, this code, this list of instructions? Is that where you stand this morning? Would you like to live in a place of resurrection power? I can't promise you life will always be safe, but if you put your confidence in Jesus Christ, I can promise you that you will make it. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, eternity is your home. I'm going to have the band come and take your places. But I want to talk to you just a second as they come. I want you to just listen real close to me right now. I want you to think about your Saturday. Would you think about your Saturday? If you've been a Christian for 100 years, you may be in a Saturday. Listen, faith does not keep things safe, but it holds us strong. You might be in a Saturday period. Your body may be breaking down with disease. You may have a child struggling. Your finances may be in disarray. You may be broken by addiction and sin that no one knows about. You may be struggling today in a Saturday, and you're looking for the resurrection. You're looking for hope. You're looking for the answer. I've been trying to figure out for a couple of days how to end this. And I just hear the Lord saying, just let people respond. Whether you're a mighty believer and you're in a spot and you just want God to help pull you through because you just believe in Him that much, Or if you're struggling on the other end of that and today you know you need Jesus more than you need anything, Jesus says, just let on Easter Sunday, on this resurrection day, let people respond and I'll help them get out of Saturday. I'd like you to stand. Before we play, you could give me some pads, that's fine, but I'm going to have Jamie come and stand with me here. Because I'm your pastor, but we have our Saturday. We trust the Lord. We believe in His power and His might. But Jesus gives us resurrection power. And we don't have to choose to stay there. And so I wonder this morning at the close of this service, on this Easter Sunday, would there be any others who would say, Pastor, I need to get out of my Saturday. I need the help of the Lord. I need the strength that He can give to help me get through and fill in the blank. He is risen, church. He is risen. Amen. So if God is speaking to you, before we sing another note or have another prayer, who will come and stand with us? Say, you know, I've got a need. I've got a circumstance. I'm in a Saturday season. Maybe it's a husband and wife who just says, you know, we got to get out of this Saturday. We need resurrection power at home. My work is killing me. I need resurrection power at work. My body's breaking down. I just need God to heal me. I need God to heal my son or my daughter or my mom or my... I just need resurrection power. It's coming close.